Our Bible reading today is from 1 John chapter 2 verse 28 to chapter 3 verse 10, and it will be read by Margaret Smith. Over to you, Margaret, for our reading.
Good morning. Today's reading begins at 1 John chapter 2 verse 28. God's children and sin. And now, dear children, continue in him, so that when he appears we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins, and in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning because they have been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child, nor is anyone who does not love their brother and sister. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Margaret, very much. Lord, we ask that as we look at these words, you would encourage and strengthen us in our faith. Each year, the Oxford English Dictionary adds new words to the dictionary and removes ones which no longer merit being in the dictionary. I wonder if we had a Christian equivalent, which words would have fallen out of common usage over the last 100 years or so. My guess is that somewhere near the top of the list would be the word holiness. It has a negative connotation to us today, to those inside the church, let alone those outside it. Some people think of holiness as being boring or pompous, to seek it as being unnatural, unhealthy, cranky, overcommitted. So we tend to think that holiness is for those who are the saints in common usage, people who can look down on us from a great height or from stained glass windows. We tend to see holiness as an exception to the rule, there for the super Christian. John will not have it that way. 1 John chapter 2 verse 28. And now, dear children, continue in him, so that when he appears we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does right has been born of him. In contrast to contemporary lack of enthusiasm, John is sure that holiness is absolutely necessary for those who call themselves a Christian. And he says it's absolutely necessary because Jesus was righteous. If you know that he was righteous, similar word to holy, you know that everyone that does right has been born of him. Now we have to recognize that if we've come to Christ, as in all the rest of John, John has been boosting our confidence by showing us what that looks like in terms of being converted and being those who confess, in terms of being those who make sure that they love their Christian brothers and sisters, don't walk in the way of the world, to be sure, because we're listening to the right doctrine and teaching, as we saw last week. And now John is going to say, look, you need to be committed to holiness. And we know that isn't always natural. It isn't always easy for us. So let's see why John says we must seek to be holy. And first of all, we see he gives us some reasons for seeking to be holy. The first one is in chapter 3, verse 1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. The first reason for seeking to be holy is we are God's children. A young girl was being teased at school because she was adopted. She suffered the taunts of her classmates patiently, but eventually blurted out in fierce self-defense, "You can say what you like. All I know is that my parents chose me. Yours didn't have that choice." She was right. She had the privilege of knowing she was not an unwanted intrusion, but chosen by free choice, by parents who chose to call her their daughter. If that is true, how much more is it true of Christians who have been called children of God? John writes in such a way that he speaks of the astonishment we should feel. Wow, what an extraordinary love. The picture is of something amazing. Cinderella had the help of a fairy godmother to make her beautiful, but our Prince King Jesus, saw us in our rags and still loved us. That's why we sing such hymns as Amazing Grace and Such Love and the like. It really should dawn on us how amazing, how extraordinary it is that we should be called God's children. And John wants us to be clear, this is no paper change. This is a real change that affects our actions, emotions, and experience. And having talked about having a relationship with God, when we do that, many think we're a bit cranky or fanatical. But that is what they called Jesus too. They didn't recognize his divine sonship. People will not recognize our adoption, which is just as real. It is a reality in our hearts now. Chapter 3, verse 2, dear friends, now we are children of God. That is what we are. And God's extraordinary love means that we respond to being his children by being holy, by living as he wants. We are God's children, and so we should live a life doing what is right in his eyes. Secondly, we have a perfect future. Verse 2, dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. John reminds his readers that we live with a vision of God in which there is a not yet. For too many years, we've lived in a culture with immediate gratification. And in a sense, the coronavirus has questioned that for a lot of people. But the shock is this, that it was actually what they were being offered in the first century as well, that sense of instant gratification. Where others may offer everything now, John reminds us that our experience of God and his ways is necessarily limited and incomplete. There is the barrier of ignorance we cannot overcome. At present, we know in part. To believe otherwise is to delude ourselves. At present, we cannot see God as he truly is, can't see his full glory. But John reminds us, though, there will be a time when we see God. but not as we are and not in this world. And so he says, because of that, because we will see God, because Christ is going to return, there is a moral implication, verse 3. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. When John tells us we shall be like him, we'll not be clones of Jesus. In heaven, our individuality will be maintained. I'll still be recognisably me. You'll still be recognisably you. We will not be dissolved into a soup of spiritual energy. We will be ourselves, but made into the moral likeness of Christ, sharing in his sinlessness. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I have difficulty imagining myself sinless. You may have difficulty imagining me sinless as well. But actually, I mean, you probably find it hard to think of yourself as sinless. But that is what we were made for in the first place. When God created us, he made us in his own image. He made us perfect. Jesus is the normal human being. And in heaven, we will all be, in that sense, normal again. Truly human and perfect. Sin makes us fall short of that fully human state. And so we're told here that what we must do, therefore, in the light of that being where we are headed, is to live now seeking to purify ourselves, seeking to make us more like Jesus in this life. It was supposed to be Wimbledon these last couple of weeks, and in a normal year, if there is somewhere that doesn't quite look right, they paint it green so it looks like grass. So that not obviously the courts, but the surroundings. We mustn't just do that. We mustn't just sort of play at being what God wants us to be. We must be those committed to living as God would have us live, in being more and more pure. Why? Because we have a perfect future. We are God's children. We have a perfect future. The third reason we seek to be holy is because sin is the devil's weapon. Verse 4, everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins, and in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. The Bible does not see sin as a product of our upbringing or cultural conditioning or a wrong set of standards. We're told that it's moral anarchy. We're told that actually we naturally rebel against God. When Adam is told to leave the tree of knowledge alone, he says, why should I? And that's what we often say to God, why should I do what you want me to do? And John rightly calls that attitude sin. For sin is the refusal to accept God's authority, the failure to conform to his ways. But John goes a step further in verse 8. The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. Sin is the devil's work. It's what he wants us to do. We live in a world that tries to convince itself that sin frees us from cramping conventions or middle-class morality, allows us to live as we please, to do as we like, to be liberated, enlightened, permissive. But God said sin leads rather than to freedom, to being a pawn in the devil's hands. Now, the devil is subtle. We don't need to believe in him for him to work in us. The devil is no gentleman. He takes every opportunity. He needs no invitation. He loves to lead us to sin. And so John says that actually, because we're part of a cosmic civil war between God and the devil, where God is going to win, because we're part of that battle, we should be those who sin less. John, when he says, no one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him, is not saying that we'll stop sinning. He's saying that we shouldn't continue to sin as much as we did. It's not that we become sinless, but that we less and less sin. Jesus came, you see, to show us the way to live. He came, yes, to deal with our sin, but also to show us what it means to live as God wants us to live. You and I have to have an increasing desire to deal with the sin in our lives. And that's not easy, but it is vital that we do if we want to do God's work. Live in God's way rather than be tricked up by the devil and his ways. We are God's children. We have a perfect future. Sin is the devil's weapon. Three reasons why we must seek holiness, being different, living as God wants us to. Finally and briefly, the gift of a new nature. Verse 9. No one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning because they have been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child, nor is anyone who does not love their brother or sister. Christians are partakers of God's nature. God transforms us spiritually. He does not just shake our hand, he changes our heart. And when God adopts us, he makes us biologically his own. We don't just have a new relationship, we also have a new nature. We, as the children of God, need to reflect, to bear the family likeness. Sin is inconsistent with our new nature. Holiness is consistent with it. Now, John is, as I've said, not saying we become sinless here. In verse 9, all the verbs are in the present tense and contain the ideal of continuity. So the NIV has it right when it says, no one who has been born of God will continue to sin. He cannot go on sinning. John's view is that the gift of a new nature should, in our experience as Christians, break the habits of sin. It changes the tenor of our life, the direction we're going, because before we were in bondage to our sinful nature, now we seek righteousness, holiness. We don't sin as we used to. I hope you can look back over your Christian life and see how God has dealt with some of your attitudes and behaviours, and you go, do you know, I used to do that, but I don't anymore. You'll be aware of the things you still do, and those are the things you work on with God, with the hope of his Spirit. Holiness, living as God wants, being obedient to him, walking in his ways. This is not an optional extra. It is our number one priority as a Christian. It is that because we are God's children. We have a perfect future. We don't sin because we know it's the devil's weapon. We have been given by God a new nature. It is right that we celebrate God's grace and unfailing love, that when we fail, he restores us. But it's right too that we're challenged to respond to that unfailing love. Our temperature as a Christian, our health as a Christian, can be taken by whether we're committed to walking in God's ways. Let's pray together. Father God, we pray that you would help us to walk in your ways. Thank you that you give us your Spirit. Help us to sin less day by day. In Jesus' name, amen.